us go back to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. Anyone who has taught young people realizes the need to illustrate or be constantly illustrating truth that you're trying to convey to them. A young person's attention span is very short, their understanding is very limited, and so you must illustrate to them constantly, tell them stories which make the word live or real, which illustrate the truth that you're trying to convey. And our Lord, in His infinite wisdom, our Heavenly Father, does the same thing to His children. He spoke often in parables, which were simple stories relating heavenly truth and illustration. And though we grow into men and women, and we should be able to listen to, Scripture says, deep things of God, we should be able, as men and women, to understand and listen with interest and great joy into some of the deeper things hard to be understood that Paul talked about. Yet, the fact is, an illustration is still the most effective way to teach. Now, the first 39 books of God's Word, the whole Old Testament, is summed up by the Apostle Paul various places where he talks about types, shadows, pictures, and so forth. The first 39 books of God's Word are in reality illustrations of who God is, types and shadows, pictures of spiritual Israel and God's salvation of spiritual beauty. Now turn to the book of keep Hosea. We'll come there in a minute. But turn to the book of Romans. All right? Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Now, we looked at this Sunday, I know, but let me refresh your memory and my own. Romans chapter 9. Who is Israel? Scripture speaks much of Israel. Very much about Israel. Romans chapter 9. Now, certainly God chose a national people, Abraham being the first, and the nation of Israel came from Abraham. The word Jew comes from Judah, the tribe of Judah. At any rate, God did choose a national people to represent His salvation, to show us, to give them the tabernacle and the things that illustrate the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, there's a remnant. Though all of those people were called God's people, yet there was really only a remnant according to the election of grace. Look at Romans 9, verse 8. It says, "They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for seed." Look at verses 27 through 29. Isaiah cried concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." Now you remember that only two persons over 20 years old entered in the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of the adults perished. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. Look at, read on, verse 28 and 29. "He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, chosen seed that he's talking about. We had been as Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at chapter 11, Romans 11. And this is what so many failed to see. Israel, the spiritual Israel, that this is primarily speaking of. Verse 26 in Romans 11. So all Israel shall be saved. Is every Jew going to be saved? No. Look, all right, now to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Well, who is Israel? All Israel is going to be saved. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And you know these verses well. Romans 2, 28 and 29. Now, he is not a Jew, which is one outward look. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inward look. And circumcision is that of the heart. In another place, Paul talked about the circumcision not made with hands. The circumcision which Christ himself performed on the hearts of his people, thereby making them his spiritual Israel. And all Israel will be saved. All of his Jews. All of those who he makes a Jew. Just like Abraham, though. Abraham is the father of the faithful, and we are justified just like Abraham. He believed God and was counted on it for righteousness before circumcision. And that's another that's another story altogether in Galatians 4. Well, back to Hosea now. And I said all that to say this, but to show you this. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him. You see that? Who does God love? Whoever he loves forever. That's what Jeremiah 31:3 said. I love them with everlasting love. Whoever he loves, he continues to love. And he loved them before the world began. And he will love them after the world ends. And he saves everyone he loves. Who can separate us, Paul said, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Who does God love? Israel. Who's Israel? Spiritual Israel, the chosen seed. His chosen people. And you remember Paul said, now the seed is Christ. Those chosen in Christ, given to Christ by the Father to save them. Alright, so this is talking about God's love for his spiritual Israel. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And you remember Romans 9 where God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. When a child, I loved him, whom he did foreknow, Romans 8, whom he did foreknow, that is, loved beforehand, long before, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. That's all the Lord's word to a passive people, chosen people. All right? Now, he says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him with an everlasting love. Malachi wrote this. Now, this is where that scripture in Romans 9 is found. Malachi 1. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Well, Malachi asked this question. When God said, I've loved thee, he said, wherein hast thou loved me? Look here at verse 1 in Hosea 11. How have you loved me? When Israel was a child, then I loved him. How do we know? I called my son out of Egypt. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, do you have your spiritual eyes on? Who's this talking about? Is he talking about the nation of Israel? Is he talking about calling them out of Egypt? From bondage, who's he talking about? Look over at Matthew with me. Book of Matthew chapter 2. I called my son out of Egypt. I love Israel, and therefore I called my son out of Egypt. Matthew John wrote this. Listen, John wrote this while you're turning. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How do we know God loves us? Because He spared not His own Son. He sent His Son into this world to save the likes of the sons of Jacob. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consented. And He came to this earth. Look at Matthew 2, and this is a prophecy. Hosea 11:1 is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, just as everything in God's Word is a type of Christ, if we have eyes to see. Everything. Christ said, they are they which testify. He said to the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have life. You think they're a way of life. He said, I am the life. They are they which testify to me. Moses wrote of me. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Solomon's life. They are they which testify to Christ. In Matthew 2, look at this now, verses 13 through 15. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Hosea, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about His Israel, His spiritual people whom He loved, whom He foreloved. And He showed His love to them by calling His son out of Egypt. It's an obscure little passage over there in the middle of nowhere, in this little book of Hosea. But Isaiah said in chapter 29, the blind are going to see out of purity. I'm going to do a work, he said, I'm going to open the eyes of the blind. They're going to see out of obscurity. Little obscure passages that other people don't see because they're blind. My people are going to see me, light. Not just a nation called Israel, but going to see salvation itself in me. You see? Well, look at, now back at the text, Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and called my son out of Egypt. And certainly all of this, you know, has an application to the nation of Israel. They were taken from Egypt. But God is spirit. God's word is spirit. He said, my word is spirit and life. This would profit us nothing if it didn't have application to salvation. Into Christ, right? If we just learned about a nation called Israel, it would profit us nothing. Endless genealogies and so forth, profit nothing. Except as we see Christ. You understand that? Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Alright, verse 2. And as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. All right? It says, as they called them. Now, who's he talking about here? He's talking about the prophets of God. Verse 7. Verse 7. My people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High. They. He's talking about prophets that God sent. Preachers. Listen to Jeremiah 7. Listen to this. He says in Jeremiah 7, verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending me. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, nor hardened, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. All right, and how does this apply to us? How long did you hear God's word? How long did you hear the truth and reject it? How long did you hear and go your own way? And he said they sacrificed to Baal and idols. I thought about that. I thought, how could Israel, which saw so much of God's power and God's glory and God's goodness, clearly, God did wondrous things right before their eyes. How could they have turned to an idol? I mean, don't you think that incredible that they could have turned to a false god and worship an idol? Don't you? Well, how could any man or woman or young person not believe the God of the Bible when He's so clearly revealed in the Scripture as He is? Throughout the Old Testament, God declares Himself as He is. And again in Malachi, He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New. He changes not. Where do people come up with all of their notions of God? That He tries and fails, that He wants to and can't, He's done all He can do and now it's up to you. Where do they get that nonsense? It's not from God's Word. Nowhere in God's Word do you ever hear God tried to do something and He couldn't do it with me and with nothing. These are idols. These are figments of men's imagination. Where do they get this picture of Jesus? And some may think I'm too hard, but there's no description of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And everyone you see, He's got long hair. Where do they get that? Paul says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. The Lord didn't have long hair. They said He was a Nazarite. No, he wasn't. He wasn't a Nazarite. He wasn't from the tribe of Levi. Nazarite's from the tribe of Levi. He let his hair and his beard grow, didn't drink wine, or drank wine. He wasn't a Levite. Where did they get all this stuff? And they put a picture up of some Caucasian blue-eyed fellow with long hair, and they call him Jesus. That's an idol. That's an idol. How can people do that? I've used this illustration before, and it's a good one. You would no more take a picture of those of you whose mother is getting up in the year, like mine. My mother is 77 years old, a little bit. And you know, she has white hair. Suppose I just got me a picture of some older woman with white hair who resembled my mother and put it on the wall and said, there's my mother. Isn't that ridiculous? Well, I would no more do that. Neither do I do that about my mother. And you've heard me say this before. If you could paint the picture of his description in Revelation 1, now, whose countenance as the sun that shineth in all his strength, whose feet are that burned in a furnace of brass. If you can paint that picture, don't do it on your wall. But it can't be, you see. He, no picture is adequate to declare his glory. Plus, our Lord said, do not make any graven image. That means anything. Have no symbols whatsoever. Don't wear them around your neck. Don't put them in your house. Don't put a picture on the wall. Don't have a statue. No graven image of anything in heaven or anything on earth. That's idolatry. That's not too hard. That's God's Word is what that is. How could Israel go and worship idols? How could men and women do the same thing? They turn from the truth. Paul said, they turn their ears from the truth unto fables. I heard somewhere where it says it. Well, you know what the Bible says. No, where does it say that? Well, it says they went from him. Though they had all of these prophets come to them, back to Hosea. All of these prophets had Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, and on it goes. Isaiah, Jeremiah. All these prophets called them to worship the true and living God. And Paul said, it's not as though the word of God had no effect. Remember him saying that in Romans? It's not as though the word of God had no effect. No, but there's a promised seed. There's a chosen people who Christ said, my sheep are going to hear my voice. My sheep will hear my voice. I know them. The reason he knows them is because he chose them. Because the Father chose them and gave them to Christ. And they will hear his voice. Now, the preacher doesn't know. That's the reason we preach the gospel in all the world. Every preacher, we don't know who the sheep are. Nevertheless, we declare that God has sheep and elected people. And he knows them. He has a people which no man can number, but he has a number. He has a number. And they're going to hear, but not at first, necessarily. Henry, how long were you in religion before you heard the gospel? You worship the night of it. And everyone else in here who was in religion, it wasn't just in the gutter like me, but you were in religion, you worship the God that you worship God the way you thought God was. And so you finally heard things like this from Psalm 50, thou callest, I was altogether such a one as yourself. But I will prove to you. I'm going to set things in order before you. You've got the cart before the horse. You've got man's will and God's following. I'm going to set things in order for you, he said. I'm going to show you that I work things according to my will, and man doeth according to my will. And it's God that worketh in us both the will and to do his will. How long, John, did you believe that God wasn't willing that anybody should perish? But some did anyway. Until you found out that he meant his people. I will save them, and who will let them? Who will prevent them? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, whoever they are. Well, they went from him and went to Balaam and sacrificed unto idols and so forth, and so did we, in spite of the clearest scriptures concerning God. But thank God, who's rich in mercy. And for his great love, wherewith he loved his chosen people, just like is spoken here, quickened you by his grace. Quickened you. What's the quickening power of God? Thy word is quick. Thy word quickened me, David said over and over in the psalm. He brought you to himself by the preaching of the gospel. Paul said, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. Truth. Peter said, this is the word which by the gospel is preached. The gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes, according to the working of his mighty power. Because God's going to get all the glory. And that's in salvation, and he brings you to himself. This is salvation. Our Lord said it in John 17:3. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. There are many gods, many ideas, conceptions of God, but there's one true God as he's revealed in this book. This is eternal life. This is life. This is spiritual life, to know the true God. To worship him in spirit and truth. And Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, to know his Son, why he came, what he did, where he is now, what that means to you. This is life eternal. Our Lord said that. And he brings you to himself. This is why Paul said he revealed his Son in me, not just to me, but in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that just doesn't mean that you walk and talk and live like him. That means he's in your heart by faith and love and adoration and worship. He abides there. You live on him. You feed on him. You have your life. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Christ in me is my hope of glory. You're brought to a person. And this is salvation, being brought to a person, not a doctor, not a church, not a denomination, not the baptismal pool, but to a person. It's coming to a person. Peter said, to whom coming? Not to what? Not to where? Not an altar? We have an altar, Paul said in Hebrew, but it's not here. It's in heaven. Christ is our altar before whom we bow. It's coming to a person. It's coming to meet a person. It's coming to know Him. It's coming to fear Him. It's coming to reverence Him. It's coming to worship Him, love Him. To whom coming? As a living stone. Not a dead doctrine, not a dry denomination, but a living person. Be acquainted with a person. Salvation is real God revealing Himself with real sinners. And this is what Hosea is now going to talk about and illustrate. Remember, I started this whole thing? I said, you need to illustrate, but I'm going to. This is what Hosea is going to illustrate here. How that we're brought to Christ. How that all of His people are brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how He's going to illustrate. All right? Look at verse 3. I taught Ephraim. That's another word for Israel. I taught Ephraim also to go. I taught him how to go. Where to go. To whom to go. Taking them by their arms. Taking them by their arms. Joseph, Aaron, come on. I'm going to use you. Okay? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to let you do anything you don't have to do. Hold on. He's going the wrong way. He's going the opposite way. This one. Took him by the arm. See that? I didn't even drag him on the arm. I didn't even drag him on the hair of his. Took him by the arm. Now, go with your grandmother. You were just there, Joseph. You're not that young. You're tall, man. You're older. But this is the illustration. I said, honey, you're going on heading the wrong way. As a way that seems right unto man at the end of the description. All we like sheep have gone astray. Heading for the precipice of the cliff. But God took him out of the arm. Lay hold on me. Taught me to go. Taught me where to go. Taught me where to go. They were all going down that broad road leading to destruction, a way that seemed right. Every one of us, whether it be religion or the gutter like me, He was still the way of destruction. But God, in His kindness and His love and His mercy toward you, He doesn't lay hold on everybody. Listen, people, if God's not with us, somebody perish. They won't perish. What about you? You love your children. They're walking across the street. Going to get hit by a car. Will you stop? If it's in your power, you will. What kind of love would it be if you didn't? If you just stood back and said, please don't. Please don't go. I don't waste time on women that you have. Here's what the Lord God did. He laid hold on us. Took us out of the way and He got it. He got killed. Our kind, loving Heavenly Father lays hold on all of His children. He takes them by the arms. Yeah, He takes them in His arms. With loving kindness, He draws them. And He tells us where to go. Go to hear the gospel. Don't go down there. That's the house of Babel. Don't go down there. Go to where the gospel is. There's the truth being preached. Go to God. Don't go to such and such a place. Don't go to this man. Don't read a book. Read my book. Go to the Word. Go to the throne of grace. Don't go to the Pope's throne. And kiss his toe. Kiss the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Run home to Christ. Takes us by the arm. Verse 2, or verse 3 says, they knew not that I healed them. You know, at first, when God begins to deal with His people, they don't know what's going on. You know, they don't know what's going on. They come, God in His sovereign providence brings them to where the gospel is free. And there aren't very many places where the gospel is free. But God brings His people in His sovereign providence. It was only one little brown tent in the wilderness where the Shekinah glory of God was. Right? And I know all the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the otherites were passing by on their camels, and they looked down at that little brown tent and said, "What do they see in that?" And somebody said, "That's where God meets, nowhere in there." And now we've got a beautiful temple up the road here, and we know God's in it because I just feel good when I get there. No. God is where the person and His work. That's where the Shekinah glory is, and that's where the salvation is centered. There's only one place. There's one way. There's one truth. There's one life. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's not a second baptism. There's one. It's being immersed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being found in Him. Go to the, and we don't know what's going on at first. We go and it might not be this place. There are places where the gospel is preached, but few and far between. The scriptures calls it like a scattering of corn on the mountaintop. But wherever the gospel is, that's where the sheep will be found. If they don't know it at first, they're in heels. They're sitting under the ball of Gilead and don't know it. They don't even know they're sick. They don't even know they're wounded and bruised and have putrefying soul. They don't know that. They think they're rich and Christian goods and have need of nothing. Then they get under the sound of the gospel, which is a two-edged sword. The first thing it does is break their heart over sin. Tear down their idols. Crush their false hope. Kill their own righteousness. Until they're a beggar. Until they look up. And they'll see nobody but the Lord Jesus. They're being healed. And they'll know. I heal. No, they didn't know it. Verse 4, look at this. I drew them with cords of a man. Don't worry, Joseph, I'm going to quote you now. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Turn to Mark 11 with me. Mark chapter 11. Our Lord, this actually happened. And this illustrates exactly what Hosea is saying here. Mark chapter 11. Now, man, listen to what Job said in Job 11. Job 11. Job 11. Now, he said this. Man is born like a wild ass's colt. That's Job 11. I never read that. I read it, but I passed over. Man is born like a wild ass's colt. Look at Mark 11. And a young colt is wild at birth. He has been around horses. Probably you have. They've got to be tamed, don't they? They're wild. They've got to be reined in as soon as possible. They sure do. As soon as possible. Listen to Lamentations 3. It's good for a man that he bears the yoke. Good for a man that he bears the yoke in his youth. Look at Mark 11, verses 1 and 2. When they came by to Jerusalem on the Bethany and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied
whereon never man sat. He makes sure to tell them that this. Nobody has ever sat on this coat. You're going to find me tied, whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. Bring him to me. And now the Lord Jesus Christ sent these two men to get a coat. Two men to get a coat. And you can say so much about them. Prophets, apostles, the law and the testimony. This oath, this covenant, these two men. So many types, pictures here. But the Lord Jesus Christ sends His Word. Old Testament, New Testament. To find His wild ass coach. And they will be found. The Lord knows exactly where they are. And the first thing He has to do is tie them up. Like I said, every one of God's elect are born, like Job said, every one of God's elect are born wild asses cold. Our Lord said this in John 6. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Nobody can. Nobody will. You will not come unto me, Christ said, that you might have life. You will not. A colt, a young, wild colt, doesn't have the will to come to a human being. They don't want anything to do with a human being. They're afraid of it. They won't come of their own choice or will. They don't have a will to do it. Their will is to run. And no man can, and no man will come to God, come to Christ, except the Father which has sent him, draw them. But the first thing he does is tie them down. Hem them up. He sits us down. Our Lord said this to his people, be still and know that I'm God. You can't hear God's word. You can't study God's word. You can't understand God's word when you're in a frenzy, hollering and screaming and shouting. See, this and this won't work at the same time. If this one's open, this one's shut. This one's shut, this one's open. And the Lord says to His people, be still and know that I'm God. God is in heaven, thou art on the earth, therefore let thy words be few. And what God does to His people is like that demoniac fellow whom He found. He found that fellow jumping and shouting and screaming and wallering and doing all this, sound like a good charismatic, you know. And what did the Lord do? Shut him up. And when they found him, he was sitting, Scripture says, he was sitting. What was he doing? Listening to Christ talk, which he should have been doing all the time. Clothed and in his right mind. Wasn't talking like a blooming idiot. He was listening to Christ talk. Worshiping Him. Hearing His word. All this so-called spirit stuff in religion is the opposite of what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't turn up. He doesn't turn a calm person wild. He turns wild as his folks talk. And so you're getting excited, preacher. Well, I do it for you. He takes a wild as his colt and makes him calm. You can't ride a kicking, bucking colt. Can't do it. Ask those old cowboy questions. Can barely walk. Listen to this. Genesis 49. I've never seen this in relation to what we're talking about. If you want to turn, you can. But Genesis 49, this prophecy of Judah. Prophecy of Judah, who is Christ. Says in verse 11 of Judah, binding his foal under the vine. And his ass is sold from the choice. And wash his garments in wine and throw them in the blood. If that isn't a picture of Christ laying hold of his people, lassoing them, cords of love, cords of the gospel. Look back at the text very quickly. Hosea, I've got to hurry. I want to get to this. Hosea 11, verse 4. Verses 2 and 3, it says that now, well, back there in Mark, he said, now, you'll find that colt tied by the door. Would you turn back there quickly? I had to turn too fast. Mark 11. You don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. I had to turn too quickly. You don't have anywhere to go, do you? Okay. Look at this. You've got to see this. This was a blessing to live. He said, go your way into the village. Verse 2. You shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why are you doing this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And he straightway he will send him. He will come. Is there any doubt about the person whom the Lord has need of, who the Lord sets his will and desire upon? Is there any doubt about them coming? Oh, Father, give me a help. And he comes and says, oh, no one's here. Read on. Verse 4. And they went their way, look at this, and they found the colt tied by the door, just like the Lord said. Now look at this. He was tied by the door. And if you are where the gospel is preached, you're by the door. You're right by the door. Now we're not far from the kingdom. You've got to walk through the door. Tied by the door. You're not here by accident. You're right by the door. Bring on. And it says he was without in a place where two ways met. He was without. If you are yet without Christ, you're yet in your sin. You're without God. You're without hope. And you're in a place where two ways meet. You're in a place where two ways meet. Way of the world. Christ's way. All the way to the narrow way. Which way will he go? Well, look at this wild ass's colt. Our Lord said, you go get him. And they loosed him. They loosed him and brought him to Christ. And when they brought him to Christ, our Lord rode him all the way up to Jerusalem. Rode him up to glory. And that's what he does with every one of his wives. Takes him all the way to glory. And they exalt him. They lift him up. He said, it's Christ. That colt didn't have to get it. No man ever ridden him. Christ sat on him. And that colt just went right where he's going. So it is with all of his people. They're made willing, Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He rides every wild as his soul be chief. They don't love once. Cords of a man. Back to Hosea 11. That man is turned. Hosea 11. The cords of a man are just that, people. The cords of a man are the cords of Christ. The cords of his character. These are the things which draw people to Christ. Christ himself is what draws people to him. Not $10 bills on the goo. Not tricks and gimmicks and schemes and tactics by soul winner. It's the beauty of Christ to see their need of him. Christ himself is what draws people to Christ. It's not the church. It's not the music. It's not the preacher. It's not the choir. It's not the program. It's not what you do for your youth. It's Christ himself. See that? The cords of the man are drawn by him. The cords of his mercy. They're sinners. They need mercy. Where are they going to get it? They find out Christ has it.
They come to Christ.
They need grace. They're helpless, hopeless, damned, doomed. They need grace. By grace you say, who's got it? Christ has grace.
They come to Christ.
They need forgiveness. They need pardon. Who can forgive sins but God? The priest can't do it. The preacher can't do it. Who can? Christ does.
They go to Christ.
Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. I pray. Christ's love, Christ's peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. Not what the world gives. The world can't give it. Christ says, I give it. Stay on Christ. Joy, no man will take it from you. Your joy will be full. Why? Because in Him dwelleth all the fullness. They come to Christ. See, the drawing power of the gospel is Christ Himself. That's the reason you can take a pitiful preacher like myself and just stand up and preach Christ, and people will come to Him. We don't sing, we don't dance, we don't just preach Christ. And those who need Christ, God's people, they'll fall in love. Well, here in Hosea 11, now, when our Lord lays hold on His people, shuts them up to hear the gospel, brings them, draws them to Himself, He loosens them, yet they still bear a yoke. Our Lord did say this, didn't He? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said those Pharisees, religion binds heavy burdens on you that they're not willing to lift one, take one finger. They like you being under their rules and regulations. They like that. You toeing the line what they want you to do, how they want you to dress. And so they like that. And they're not going to do one thing to help. The Christ set you free. The Son set you free. Be free. Free from bondage. Free from the law. Free from ignorance. Ignorance is what binds people to live, you know? Ignorance is truth. And Christ set you free from religion. Jesus Christ is all the religion is. He said, my yoke is easy, not hard, easy. But it is a yoke, and it's a necessary restraint for colts. They still got a little colt in them. They still got a little colt in them. I've raised a few colts. Well, I mean, pulled them out of their mother. And I've learned this. I learned it quickly. That as soon as that colt can be up and standing and start nursing, that's the first thing it's got to do. And hitting out a picture. And sincere milk of the word. That's what they need. Don't bind anything on BS. But I've learned that you got to put a halter on pretty quick. You got to put a halter on pretty quick. Or if you don't, you're in trouble. The longer they go without that halter on them, and you start leading them, they need to learn to lead. Because like I said, it's not their nature to follow you. A man called me one day that I sold a mare to, and she had a little filly. And he called me, it was about 6 weeks after the filly was born. And this man knew nothing about horses, first of all. Nothing. Never owned a horse before. And about 6 weeks after that colt was born, he called me and said, we got a little filly now. I said, oh, wonderful. Great. I said, when was it born? He said, 6 weeks ago. I said, well, I said, what are you doing with it? He said, nothing. I can't get near it. I was hoping you'd come over and help me. He said, I'd get even close to it. I'd kick me, bite me. I said, well, I didn't want to tell him. You should have started long before now. But and I went over there, and sure enough, she tried to kick me too, and reared up, trying to call me. But anyway, God's people, they have a yoke upon them, but it's an easy yoke.
It's a light.
Yeah, it's not a difficult yoke. It's not a hard yoke. He's not a hard taskmaster. And now look at this. And I'll quit it. Verse 4. He says, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. They're bound by love. It's not law that binds his people. The law. Now listen to me. The law is not what keeps us obedient. It's love. It's love. Not the law. Love is the rule of a believer's life. That's what rules say. The love of God is shed abroad in their heart. Well, but he said this in verse 4. And I was to them as they to take off the yoke on their jaw. And I laid me unto them. I took off the yoke of the law, the yoke of guilt. But like I said, his yoke is very easy. That like the last young colt is another illustration. The last young colt that we raised, that I raised. Like I said, I pulled it out of his mother. I was handling it immediately. And that colt fell in love with me. That was the first one he saw before his mother. And he tried to nurse on me. Anyway. That young colt now is 2 years old, and he weighs about 1,400 pounds. He's huge. He is huge. Now, I've been treating him good. I've been treating him now. I put that yoke on him very early. I taught him to lead and various things. I drawn him with cords of love. Well, the other day, he was kind of, I had a little round pen out in the field there, and he was in it. There's some grass in there. He was out there. I thought, well, it's now there. And I went out there and I shut the gate. Me and the dog. And I went over and sat on the fence there. And he came moseying over, you know, what you doing? Want to play, you know, got something to eat? That's really what he wants. Eat. And he kind of sided up to me there, and I swung my leg over on his back and sat down. And you know what he did? Nothing. And I thought, nothing. He didn't move. He didn't cut. He didn't kick. He just kind of looked at me and said, never done that before. And when he said that over here, she's, I'm going to teach her to ride. I'm going to let you from the ride. And plow. Put her hand in the plow. Break the clods. And you know that colt, that 1,400-pound colt, it will follow me anywhere. I didn't have a, when I got it, it was not a bridle, a bit, a saddle. And he knew I meant him no harm. He trusted me. That's where it comes from, doesn't it, Pop? That's the way you treat horses, and that's the way the Lord treats you. He knew I meant him on the good. And now, you know, he really needs no rope or halter to come to me. I said, for calling, he comes. He still wants something to eat. Well, that's what he said here. I laid meat unto him. Anytime he comes to eat, I laid meat. Well, I think that's the reason he weighs 1,400 pounds. His mother weighs 80. They're both about 300 pounds overweight. But that's all right. As long as they keep coming, I'm going to feed them. Good stuff to apples, carrots, sweet peas. You know it. You got it. just to do this. And our Lord's people, they come to Him willing in the day of His power. He leads them. They follow Him in these churches. That thing, why on earth is they go fast spiritually? Not us. Come on. All right, stand with us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's the truth that sets us free. It is Your Word. It is Your hammer, Your fire, Your sword. And we thank You for it. Thank You for Christ, Your Son, who is all our salvation, all our hope. We trust Him, Him alone, for our salvation. Make it so with every person under the sound of this word tonight. It's not hard to use. It can be in Thy will, Lord. We will give You all the glory. In Christ's name, we're met here tonight. Amen. We're dismissed.